In 1958, a seismic shift began within the Catholic Church that would forever alter its relationship with the modern world. When white smoke billowed from the Sistine Chapel chimney announcing Cardinal Angelo Roncalli as Pope John XXIII, few realized they were witnessing the opening salvo in a decades-long struggle for the Church's very soul. This wasn't a battle fought with weapons, but with encyclicals, theological arguments, and competing visions of what Catholicism should be in the modern age. 7 successive popes have since shaped or damaged the Church's relationship with contemporary society, each leaving an indelible mark on an institution that spans continents and influences billions of lives. As one Vatican insider poignantly observed, when the Pope weeps, the whole Church feels the tears. Imagine walking into a time capsule where Latin was the only acceptable language for worship and non-Catholics were considered heretics. This was the Catholic Church Pope John XXIII inherited in 1958, a church of no, not yes, focused more on condemning sin than showing mercy. The Vatican, though just 108.7 acres, wielded extraordinary global influence through its diplomatic corps and the Roman Curia, a bureaucracy of 4,000 workers serving as the Church's central administration. This predominantly male organization had mastered resisting change, outlasting popes and frustrating reformers for centuries. Pope Pius XII, John's predecessor, ruled for 19 years with an authoritarian style that earned him the title the Last Absolute Monarch. Though he became the first globally recognized pope through media, his legacy was marred by his silence during the Holocaust. As Vatican Secretary of State, he had negotiated a 1933 pact with Nazi Germany, trading church opposition for religious privileges, and during the war, despite evidence of genocide, remained silent, citing fears of Catholic persecution. Cardinal Roncalli, elected as Pope John XXIII in 1958, brought a dramatic change to the papacy. Short, rotund, and approachable, he dismantled papal formalities like foot-kissing and was known for his warm humor, once joking that about half of Vatican employees actually worked. 3 months into his papacy, he stunned the Church by announcing the Second Vatican Council, Vatican II, aimed at modernizing the Church and improving relations with other Christian denominations. He also took steps to heal Catholic-Jewish relations, removing anti-Semitic language from liturgical prayers. His commitment to Jewish welfare had been evident earlier when, as Archbishop in Istanbul during World War II, he had helped save 25,000 Jewish refugees. Despite discovering he had terminal cancer, John XXIII pressed forward with Vatican II. In his landmark opening address, he challenged church conservatives and advocated for mercy over severity. Before his death in 1963, the council would approve major reforms in liturgy, ecumenism, religious freedom, and interfaith relations. Pope Paul VI, who succeeded John XXIII in 1963, found himself constantly burdened by the weight of difficult decisions. Though he continued Vatican II and made initial progressive appointments, every choice seemed to torment him. The birth control issue became his most defining struggle. In 1964, he expanded the Birth Control Commission to include scientists, doctors, and women, a first. Despite the commission voting overwhelmingly to lift the contraception ban, 54 of 66 members, Paul ultimately reaffirmed the Church's position in his 1968 encyclical Humanae Vitae. The decision sparked fierce criticism. The Economist condemned it as the fruit of papal isolation, while Hans Küng claimed it destroyed Vatican authority for a generation of Catholics. Paul sank into depression, convinced his remaining papacy would face constant defiance. His later years proved equally troubled. He publicly declared Satan was attacking the Church, while financial scandals emerged from his appointment of Michele Sindona as Vatican financial manager. Most American priests believed he had overstepped with Humanae Vitae. Before his death in August 1978, Paul frequently spoke of pain, dolore, expressing doubt about his own salvation. After John Paul I's brief 33-day papacy in 1978, Cardinal Carol Wojtyla became Pope John Paul II, the first non-Italian pope in 456 years. Though initially appearing centrist regarding Vatican II reforms, he emerged as a conservative force who centralized power and suppressed doctrinal debates. His early global travels, especially his historic Polish pilgrimage, drew massive crowds. However, his 1979 U.S. visit disappointed American Catholics with his unwavering stance against birth control, priestly celibacy, women's ordination, and abortion. His appointment of Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger to lead the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in 1981 proved pivotal. Ratzinger restored the Congregation's pre-Vatican II role of disciplining dissidents and, in his 1985 Ratzinger Report, declared that post-Vatican II reforms had led the Church from self-criticism to self-destruction. A troubling question shadowed John Paul II's final years. Why did he and Ratzinger take minimal action regarding widespread priest sexual abuse? Despite claims of immediate response, evidence suggested either memory lapses or misrepresentation of their handling of abuse cases. When Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio became Pope Francis in 2013, he rejected traditional papal trappings, making headlines with humble gestures like carrying his own briefcase and washing prisoners' feet, including those of women and Muslims. He transformed Vatican governance by establishing a diverse council of cardinal advisors, challenging the Italian-dominated Curia's power. His statement, "Who am I to judge?" regarding gay priests, marked a dramatic shift from centuries of church stance. However, Francis struggled with the clerical sex abuse crisis, notably in Chile, where he defended Bishop Barros against allegations that were later proven true, despite Cardinal O'Malley having previously informed him. Following Benedict XVI's death in 2022, Francis accelerated reforms. In 2023, through Cardinal Fernandez, he authorized priests to bless same-sex couples, a move that delighted progressive Catholics but drew sharp criticism from conservatives who deemed it blasphemous. The struggle that began with Pope John XXIII's election in 1958 continues today. The Catholic Church remains divided between two visions: doctrinal traditionalism versus pastoral mercy and modern engagement. Francis's reshaping of the College of Cardinals ensures his appointees will comprise 80% of those choosing his successor. By 2024, nearly half of voting-age cardinals will be from outside Europe and North America, reflecting his push for diversity. The stakes involve the Church's relevance in the 21st century. Key questions remain. Will tradition override mercy and inclusion? Will the abuse crisis be met with transparency or institutional self-protection? These answers will determine whether the Church can heal its divisions and maintain credibility in an increasingly skeptical world. As Francis's papacy winds down, he remains confident his successor will continue the medicine of mercy approach championed by John XXIII. The emotional toll on church leadership reflects both the difficulties of transition and the human impact of Vatican decisions.